Dean and Alexis.
Good morning, Alexis Lance, Los Angeles County Bicycle Coalition. We're pleased to support the creation of an active transportation agenda. We urge the board to approve this item, and it looks like you're going to. As we see this being integral and a progressive step forward to doing holistic transportation planning. As our county transportation planning organization, Metro has a duty to do good regional planning that improves our public health by enhancing and promoting walking and bicycling, developing safe routes to school, safe routes to transit, and safe routes for senior programs. In our region currently, 12% of all trips are made by walking and biking. 25% of all collisions involve pedestrians and bicyclists. In fact, in the city of Los Angeles, 41% of all collisions were involving pedestrians and bicyclists. But as a region, we spend less than 1% of our transportation dollars on making walking and bicycling safer. The active transportation agenda is an integral beginning to begin to address these inequalities, and I urge you to approve this item.
I understand not. Okay, Mr. Sachs.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. A leveraging option in another plan. Jeepers, where have I heard that before? Oh, you leveraged the red line and the blue line, the downtown connector area, so you could build the red line to Union Station instead of the blue line continuing up through Union Station in Pasadena. What a money-saving idea that was. But the real plan there was so we wouldn't have to build it going westward past Western Avenue into the west side of L.A. Leveraging, I'm really excited to hear that. Money-saving plans, 20 years you had a plan. 20 years, the blue line should have been built over 20 years ago. Here's my letter from the Los Angeles to Pasadena Metro Blue Line Construction Authority. And you know, they wouldn't lie because as part of your elected official credo, it's open and transparent.
Thank you. All right, it's been moved to second without objection, so ordered with the amendment. Item 18.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. Item 18 is a series of bills on which we are asking the board to take positions. The committee made some changes to the positions which are highlighted on the agenda. If you'd like, I could go through each of the bills.
Are there specific questions? A piece of legislation, we did have extensive discussion and the reasons for the change, and hopefully that was articulated prior to the meeting. Mr. Fasano?
I was trying to figure out what the concern was on the long-haul bill. My understanding is that the bill for now has been pulled, or whether we should be looking to work with author rather than an oppose.
Yeah, the senator pulled the bill from consideration at the last policy committee. The concern that was raised at the committee was that the composition of the board as identified in the bill does not have a majority of the seats on the board for Los Angeles County. So since the bill was in print and at the time of the drafting of the original report was still under consideration, there was a concern raised at the committee that the composition of the board was still an issue.
Strong consideration. Mr. Cass can address it, but I think our recommendation change here had something to do with it being pulled. Mr.
Cass. And both the supervisor and I sat on EMAC when we were discussing this, and there were two basic concerns. One, there seems to be consensus among a lot of people around the port that this is not the right time, and the mayor's expressed it, the supervisors have, given the economy to be raising fees at the port. And then the second piece of it was the composition of the board, which is, as Michael said, a 12-person board, of which the county's got two. So considering that's the only two things in the bill, and we have serious problems with both of them, I think is why the committee felt that just work with author wasn't strong enough in terms of the message. And the author, as Michael said, has now made it a two-year bill. So that's the reason why.
Okay. I mean, when I look at this, I see six of the 12 represented from LA County in terms of the representation between the ports, ACE, Metro, and then the county and the city. So that's why I was curious what we were actually looking for.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And we've all been through the library Is that right? The library deal where Southern California had no representation, and guess where the money went? Okay. We have public comment. Dr. Clyde Williams. Oh, excuse me, Mike. Go ahead.
Let me ask a question on Senate Bill 214 by Davis.
Yes.
By reading this, they're going to remove the...
By Walk, you mean?
By whom?
Walk.
Davis.
214?
214, attachment A.
Oh, yeah.
It indicates that it's going to renew the voters' approval for these districts, and also it's going to do area being blighted to establish an IFD. And I know that at the county level, we have opposed cities who want to redevelop in areas that are not blighted, and we've taken cities to court and won because they tried to do that and couldn't. So here it looks like we're trying to eliminate blighted areas where we could do this, and secondly, it removes the right of voters to vote on this.
Yeah, the creation of infrastructure financing districts itself does not require an area to be blighted, and that's one of the things that distinguishes them from redevelopment areas. The issue with the IFDs is that there's a very extensive process to create them, which requires the consent of all the taxing jurisdictions in order to do this, which is, I think, another distinction with redevelopment areas. And the feeling is was that since this doesn't raise anybody's taxes, it just redistributes what would be naturally occurring tax increment, those are decisions that could be left to the taxing jurisdictions, and that a vote approval would just be an extra obstacle to create them. So that's.
But it specifically states in your report here, eliminate the requirement that the creation of infrastructure financing districts be subject to voter approval.
That's, yes, and that's specifically what the bill would do. It would eliminate that requirement.
And it'd be in place for 40 years.
Yes.
So I would oppose it on that basis.
Now, it's a very inconsistent position in what we're going after cities for on redevelopment. So, any other questions?
And do you want to change that?
Well, I would move that we would oppose that when you do the motion on supporting all the legislation. That's the only one I had a question on. So that'd be my motion to oppose Senate Bill 214 when we approve.
Let me take that one out.
Well, I've got public comment, and then we can go to it, and then we'll do that, okay? Bomb, you need a way. Okay, Arnold Sachs, followed by Dr. Excuse me, I called Dr. Clyde Williams first, I'm sorry. Followed by Arnold Sachs. It takes Sachs here a while to get up here anyway.
Dr. Clyde Williams, El Sereno. I would strongly support an opposition to 214. Also, we would be opposed to 693. Caltrans has a problem with their PPP. The LAO for the state of California says this isn't a good bill. Send it back and redo it. So why take a bad thing and pass it on to you guys? Because I would presume that county means MTA. So are they trying to pass the buck for something? I don't know. Then there's AB 892. Caltrans has federal jurisdiction or federal responsibility for environmental impact. They come up with a project that is 100 square miles, and they don't have a line in that 100 square miles as to where the 710 would go. Oh, also you should consider AB 353 by Mr. Cedillo regarding the California Transportation Code. Maybe you should support 353. Thank you.
Mr. Sachs and John Walsh.
Thank you again. Arnold Sachs. Honestly, who cares? Here, you modify. Here's a bill, 1847, modified by the board of the MTA after it adopted administrative code. So who cares? Modify it. Control it. Massage it. Who gives a rat's ass?
Hey.
I got a letter. This is what the action was taken. You changed the name. You changed the destination.
Mr. Sachs, are you addressing any items here?
I'm
addressing your own item. This is
No. I'm addressing a state law that was that was approved by the MTA and it was changed without benefit of any amendment by
Mr.
the legislation. So if the trans riders have a bitch to take, look at this. That's my problem, sir.
Thank you. Always glad to hear your problems. Mr. Walsh.
Some of these are moot. In particular, F concerns Proposition 1B transit funds. Folks, I went 2 months ago after the, somebody up here let the cat out of the bag about the fall bond sale. The fall bond sale has about as much chance of happening in the fall as Gaddafi has to be ruling Tripoli in the fall. It's not going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. It's not going to happen. And it's going to be a tsunami, unlike even the Japanese tsunami, and not just in transportation, but in water, in education. This fall, it's the biggest story in California. Only the Daily News has done it. The L.A. Times, thanks to Steve Hyman, former writer, reported he's been able at the L.A. Times. He's done an excellent job of keeping this story out of the L.A. Times. Maybe Mr. Bloomkatz can get his editor to do the story. But I'm telling you right now, even at the, you know, the old joke is, you have cancer. Well, is there no cure? No, but the doctor will touch up your x-rays. And the doctors can touch up your x-rays and make it look like it's not cancer, but you're dying of bond cancer.
Thank you very much. All right, the audience before us, I think we've got agreement on B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Moved by Director Katz. Chair will second without objection. So ordered. Item A is before us, SB 214.
Move we oppose SB 214.
Okay. Chair will second that. Any objections?
Yeah. Mark, this is the mic.
And I second it on 214.
I would say I think the mic.
I thought the objective was to have whoever wished would wish to oppose it to do so, and the balance of the board to support it. If that's not the case, Mr. Chair, I would respectfully choose to abstain from that vote. I think there's compelling reason for us to learn the data that we can from the proposed legislation. It gives us more rather than less.
Okay. The other option is to do what we did with the goods movement on Lowenthal, is to oppose, work with Arthur. I don't think you can do that because the essence is really inconsistent with what we're attempting to do with the city. So we have a motion and a second to oppose. We can put that to a vote and then see where that falls out. Yes?
Question on this SB 214. Is what the bill does is repeal the requirement for a vote?
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
What kind of vote is it? Is it a property assessment?
No, it's a vote of all the voters within the district.
Within a district. Kind of vote? Mail vote?
I don't think it specifies if it's a mail. I don't think it specifies the type of vote.
So it's all voters, not
yes.
property owners?
Right.
But this is a property tax assessment, isn't it?
No, it's not an increase. It's not a new assessment. It would redistribute
its increment.
The tax increment.
Right. So any registered voter is entitled to vote?
Yes. Part of the problem with this is that they've rarely been done. There's only one that's in existence right now, and it's around Legoland. And so the process for these is a little unclear. So nobody's really done a vote like this on an IFD. I think the law is a little unclear about how a vote would happen, but it would be a vote of all the voters within the district.
Let me ask you a question. Didn't the Assemblyman Fuhrer a year or two ago try to get a bill that would create a tax increment approach? We were looking at it for the Wilshire Corridor, and it went nowhere. What happened?
It wouldn't create the process because this process currently exists in law. It would actually make the change. The bill that was carried by Assemblymember Fuhrer, which we sponsored, would make the same change that the Wolk bill would make, which is to remove the voter requirement at the end of the process.
Oh, so that's all that bill did?
Yes.
This is essentially the same bill?
Yes.
So we have previously sponsored and supported this bill, or this,
yes,
this, the substance of this bill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Let me finish, then you're next.
I'm as critical of this tax increment approach generally on redevelopment as anybody else, but this is so focused. It's just for transportation-related projects. Is that correct?
No, these would actually be for broader use. I mean, you could use an IFD for a variety of infrastructure purposes. So this is actually broader
than transportation. But it's infrastructure.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's, look, I think this is a tool we need in our toolkit. I wouldn't want to oppose this bill. I mean, it's up to us. Who initiates these IDAs?
Whoever would be the owner of the infrastructure would be the entity that initiates the process. We've taken a look at it with respect to certain projects that we would likely use it on, one of which could potentially be the subway.
Okay, so if it was a subway, for example, or a rail, we'd initiate it?
We would initiate it. And then there is a prescribed process you have to go through, which
public hearing and
public hearings, and it also requires the consent of all the taxing jurisdictions. So in the process of creating the district, you can't create it unless every agency that
you
give up tax revenue.
Right. Yeah, I would.
All right, well, the item before us is to Mr. Ray Thomas, and then Warren.
I think the report speaks to it rather succinctly. The last time around, this legislation was held in Senate Local Government Committee. In addition, MTA's legislative program includes support for the legislation that would facilitate the use of IFDs. SB 214 could facilitate the development of a financing tool for future transportation projects in Los Angeles County. Therefore, we have the recommendation. This effectively takes the handcuffs off of what we could do, gives us a bit more information, flexibility to do what some of us would like to do with respect to development. Therefore, I would think the original recommendation of the committee all should stand, and those who choose to oppose it, I respect that. But this is a help to us. This is a tool that we could effectively utilize.
Okay. Well, the item before us, it's been moved and seconded to oppose, and we'll just cast our vote. So,
I still have a question.
Okay.
I would like to know how this compares to business enterprise zones and redevelopment agencies. Is it the same type of an operation, or is it something completely different? And can anybody answer that?
I can answer the comparison with respect to redevelopment agencies. I'm not as familiar with enterprise zones, but with a redevelopment area, you're essentially capturing tax increment,
right,
but you have to declare blight. And
right,
in the case of an infrastructure district, you don't have to declare blight. And then the process is also different because it requires the consent of all the taxing jurisdictions, and there are some other protections in the IFD law that I believe do not exist in the redevelopment law. So I think one of the big distinctions here is that the process is such that all of the taxing jurisdictions have to consent to the creation of these. So,
okay, thank you. That helps me.
And Mr. Fasano and Director Wilson, hit your little button, would you, up there? Request to speak. Thanks.
So bottom line, if Metro is somewhere along one of its transit segments, decide to form one of these, if Los Angeles County, which also receives property taxes, did not grant their consent, we could not form it. Is that correct?
Or we could form it but not use the tax revenues that would have gone to the county.
Okay.
Mr. Wilson?
Yeah, this is directed to staff. Can you give us your view on what's happening with respect to the governor's plan to essentially eliminate community redevelopment agencies?
Oh, I think as we learned yesterday, it's still under consideration.
It's on the table, but they exist as is. There is plenty of debate on that, as well as the enterprise zones. It's still out there. It's still part of the plan, and we got that written.
Yes.
From the governor's office as well as Senator Steinberg's office. So there's a slow movement afoot.
This vehicle will be
something that's independent of redevelopment agencies?
That's correct.
Okay, so the item, the motion made by Director Antonovich, seconded by myself, is to oppose. Please cast your vote. All right, our machine's on. There we go.
Urgent no vote.
Okay. Motion fails. Okay, we'll go back to the support position. Yes.
Why don't we just, you know, because it's a split board, why don't we just make it work with Arthur and leave it at that? Because the board's clearly divided. The board's clearly divided on it. But let's.
Okay.
That'd be my motion.
Motion to work with Arthur. Any objection to that? Okay. All right. You got your marching orders. Without objection, so ordered. Okay, let's go back to item 15, please. Receive and file, yeah. Long day in Sacramento, long day here. Island, I receive and file. Receive and file. Receive and file. Item. Staff report, please.
With the adoption of the Crenshaw LAX locally preferred alternative in December of 2009, the board directed that we conduct a grade separation analysis of the Park Mesa Heights area between 48th and 59th Street. The study was completed and placed on the committee agenda last year, but it was never discussed by the board. Roger Diaz, our project manager, has a brief presentation on the findings of the study.
The Park Mesa Heights section is in the center of the Crenshaw corridor. It's designated in blue on the map to the right and in the black on the map to the left. For your information, schools are identified in the stars on the map to the left, the major schools being Crenshaw High School, which is one block away to the right, designated in red, and U Park Preparatory School, which is a charter junior high school at the intersection of Crenshaw and Slauson. Most of the other schools are well off the right-of-way or storefront-type schools on the right-of-way. For context, Crenshaw Boulevard has varying widths along its extent. The section under consideration is from Vernon to 60th, 48th to 59th Street. It is one of the widest sections of Crenshaw Boulevard, generally about 180 feet from building face to building face, including the sidewalks. This wide right-of-way at one point accommodated the yellow car streetcars, which extended from Eagle Rock down to Hawthorne. So it did have street running light rail at one point. Important when considering grade separations, just for context for light rail, we examined the several policies that Metro applies to light rail. The first and foremost being the grade crossing policy. In that, traffic volumes are compared to planned train volumes. The three relevant intersections are designated, circled in red in the green zone. That suggests that at-grade operation is feasible in this area. We also look at right-of-way and physical constraints and environmental impacts and other factors. As indicated previously, right-of-way does not pose a constraint as far as at-grade operation goes. And environmental impacts, generally the governing constraint tends to be traffic and safety. We have found no traffic impact in this area that cannot be mitigated. The conclusions of our original grade separation analysis before the LPA was adopted were that traffic impacts were insignificant or could be mitigated, adequate right-of-way did exist for adequate at-grade operation, and the grade separation analysis does not change the original LPA recommendation of an at-grade configuration. Nonetheless, we present the at-grade configuration. On the top is the existing configuration of Crenshaw Boulevard. It is in a classic boulevard configuration with medians in the center and also dividing some side streets called frontage roads within Crenshaw Boulevard. In the revised configuration, we are proposing to widen the sidewalks on either edge of the street in order to provide greater space and landscaping for pedestrians at the building faces, potentially with additional trees in some locations where we are able to get up to 20 feet of sidewalks. It may accommodate two rows of trees. Light rail would be placed in the center of the boulevard. Three lanes of traffic would be preserved in each direction. That's existing through traffic movements now. And one row of parking would be preserved at the curb face in each direction. The grade separation analysis goes through several key findings. It finds that there would be a slight increase in ridership of 760 compared to a base of 20,000. This is in 2030 ridership, daily ridership. There would be a slight benefit to travel time of about 1 to 2 minutes, depending on the configuration. We do have no significant impact on traffic, while there would be a left turn prohibition at 54th Street. Capital cost could go up to $269 in year of expenditure dollars. It is reported as $219 in $2010, and then there would be an operating cost slight increase associated with the maintenance of the tunnels and the utilities associated with the operation of the tunnels. We have no major difference in the impact to economic development, especially given what the existing land use plan is and the input to the current land use plan modifications underway. Schedule and cost impact. Our conversations with FTA suggest that an adoption of this alternative could result in 3 to 6 months of extra environmental work in terms of revising the final EIS. The construction period would be extended by a period of about 2 to 4 months, and the cumulative impact would be in the range of 5 to 10 months for adoption of a grade separation in this area. In terms of cost, the planning level estimate will have to be reevaluated, and schedule delays may result in additional cost escalations. With that and with the key findings do not change the recommendation for the at-grade locally preferred alternative, and that concludes our staff report.
Okay. Are there questions at this point before I go to public comment? Yes, Mr. Fasano.
I'm just curious, has staff, not really just for this particular issue, but you know, we talk about the capital costs would be low grade and at grade and elevator or whatever. Do we have any general rules of thumb in terms of O&M costs for the three modes? And variables that would affect those? Not even just the capital, but you know, operating maintenance, what are they?
I don't know if I've...
I don't need the answer today, but I just... When I'm listening to this, I'm kind of thinking...
Okay. Well, it is a receiving file. That should be part of the discussion, absolutely. Okay. All right, we'll go to public comment. Damian Goodman, followed by Al Sachs, followed by John Walsh.
Mr. Chairman, can I make an observation on the previous...
question on the follow-up. I take it that there's no definitive response to his question at this point.
But they'll get back, be part of the discussion.
I think, I mean, typically what we did out here on this line is to look at where there might be a justification for an underground treatment. And that may be in terms of mitigation or whatever. Based upon that, that would have been the recommendation in those locations where that's appropriate. So that would be what drives the decision. The operating cost of the trains is probably about the same. There'd be other operating costs associated with a tunnel, ventilation and things of that nature. But I don't know if I've seen a firm guideline, because that's not what primarily drives the decisions.
So we'll just see what you can come back with, be part of.
And it's an overarching question, not as it applies specifically to this project. And I think it's instructive.
Okay. Sort of specific. Okay, Mr. Goodman, followed by Mr. Sachs, followed by Mr. Walsh.
First, any operations and maintenance costs that does not include the $500,000 per accident is incorrect. Second, Metro staff states that the level of service can be mitigated to a point of no significance. With the intersection which would require the tunnel is lost, LOSF is the determination after mitigation. This is separate treatment of the grade separation policy on this project. But I've read this report many times, and this is my favorite line out of many. The determination of safety impact for both at grade and underground is the same. Board members, raise your hand if you believe that statement. Yeah, I haven't seen a red line. I haven't seen a purple line. I haven't seen a grade separated green line run into a fire truck, run into a patrol car, or run into a Metro bus underground either. You have before you evidence simply that staff cannot be trusted to critique itself. It's no wonder that there's no civil engineering license associated with this report.
Okay, Mr. Walsh.
Thank you again, Arnold Sachs. While you're doing an analysis on this project, I would implore you to look at considering the Crenshaw line going to Wilshire Boulevard. You know, you're going to cut the 40 and the 740 where they connect with the Expo line instead of continuing those bus lines to downtown. So if you ever built the subway along Wilshire Boulevard, people will have to go from the heart of the city to downtown to take the blue line to go to the green line to go to the airport instead of being able to get to the Crenshaw line to go to the airport. 20-year plans, 25-year plans. Stop for a second. Give the public a peanut instead of stealing every penny that you can get your hands on. Consider the Crenshaw line to Wilshire Boulevard.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Walsh.
If Obama doesn't get reelected, this line is dead. I'm only in favor of this line when Zev attacks it with his racial agenda. You got schedule delays already. You got you have cost revisions, cost overruns. You're not even finished final design. You don't have an environmental study. All you have is the Democrats believe there's $500 million in TIFIA money you're going to get plus interest through Barbara Boxer, and that, of course, is in exchange. That is in exchange for the wonderful work that the South Central did, the Black South Central did, to get Obama in, and the work they promised to keep him in. This is the corner. What I like about this is it isn't merely the light rail to nowhere. It's the light rail that connects two light rails to nowhere. It connects the green line that doesn't go to the airport and to the Expo line that goes nowhere that any white person wants to go because they want the Zev line.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. All right, the item is before us as a matter to receive and file without objection, so order. Item number 19, please. Please, staff report, please.
Good morning. Staff is recommending approval of our Small Business Enterprise Program annual goal. It was presented to committee at 25%, which was an increase from 15%. It was suggested at committee that we increase the 25% to 30%. We're also requesting approval to revise our small business program to implement some of the provisions of an MTA-sponsored Senate Bill 1341. And we'll be happy to answer any questions.
I'll chair will move it.
I'll second.
Second, and we have a public comment, Mr. Sachs. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I want to associate myself with those who move it and acknowledge the staff's work on this. It seems to me this is part and parcel of what it means to use the resources at our disposal, give access to small business to do what they do, which is add value, create jobs, revitalize the economy. And I think this is a very important piece of a larger economic development strategy.
Okay. Concur with that. Anyone else? Without objection, so ordered. Item number 20. Thank you both very much.
Mr. Chair, this is the third time this has come back. I've been through two or three committee discussions. You have two basic options here. One is to accept the staff recommendations regarding David Solo's house or not. The financial impact of the MTA is less than $30,000. I don't plan on bringing this back to the board if the board chooses not to provide direction. Mr. Matsumoto.
You've very succinctly summarized the steps, Ms. Belahi.
Okay. All right.
I'll move the item.
Okay, is there a second? Second?
I'll second.
Second. Okay, public comment. Damien Goodman, John Walsh, and Arnold Sachs. Okay, thank you.
You know, you're thousands wise and billions foolish. Solo had to leave because somebody had to take the fall for the collision, the head-on collision at Metrolink. A few thousand here, a few thousand there, acting like you're watchdogs. Forget it.
Mr. Sachs.
Oh, you almost forgot? Thank you. I remind you.
Never forget.
I remind you on Tuesday, but you'll be in Washington. I was kind of hoping if this would have any kind of effect. Again, my problem of $14 a month that I pay extra for my monthly pass. I was hoping that maybe it would go down by maybe 2 cents, so it only cost me $13.80 extra. $13.98.
Okay, the item before has been moved, seconded. Any further comment or any objections? Okay. Supervisor.
You had me up as an
Okay, well, let's.
This is so close.
Clear it. You need to clear it.
Not cleared yet.
Can't you make just one swipe?
Technology. What's he doing?
That's how you get carpal tunnel. You're not doing all these things. Oh, yeah, our thing. There we go.
Is he? Is Solo aware of this?
Yeah, he was aware.
He offered to come by, and I think Mr. Matsumoto spoke with him and suggested it wasn't necessary.
That's correct.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you just said. David offered to come by here if that was thought to be helpful, and we did not invite him to come.
So so this is mutually agreeable?
He's agreeable to this. This is his request. We're seeking to approve his request.
Can you clear mine?
No.
I voted no. You have me record it, yes.
I voted abstain. And you
I voted abstain. Can we clear the board and let's do it again?
Get us to L.A. County, not Chicago, voting machine.
Go to the cities. They don't even have to vote.
Oh, shit.
I'll give you the
Why don't we just call the roll? All right, let's try it. Clerk, Mr. Willie Thomas, would you please? Okay. All right, now we'll go ahead and vote. Okay. Motion passes. Yeah. George?
Got five votes.
Five votes. You need seven? Need seven out of this? Out of this.
7 votes.
Okay. Motion fails. Okay. Item 21.
Who knows? Because I do what Polano leads me to do. Right. Take my lead right over here.
Okay. Item 21. That's been continued as well, too. Am I correct?
Yes.
Number 22.
Mr. Chair, we're making a proposal here, which we think is very exciting. We've pulled some information that we'll cover as to what the effect of this change in policy would be. The fundamental objective here is to allow for better integration of those who bike with our transit system.
Good morning, board members. As Mr. Leahy indicated, this is one of the steps that we are taking in the bike program. We took it to committee, and there were several questions asked from us. We have provided...
Excuse me, just a point of order here. I'm going to take item 22 and 23 together. They are related. Okay?
There were several questions asked of committee. We have provided responses to that. And then I have here Sherzad Amiri, who has coordinated all the work on that. And then we just like to ask you if you have any questions on the responses that we provided. We're here to respond to that.
Okay. Are there any questions before I go to public comment? All right. Seeing none, let me get my house in order up here.
Right.
Okay. Everyone's duplicate on 22 and 23. It's the same issue. Okay, first, Michelle Maui. Michelle, you here? Followed by Allison Manos. Followed by Alexis. Go ahead.
I'm Michelle Mallory. I'm the Senior Bicycle Coordinator of the City of L.A., but more importantly, I'm a Blue Line rider, and I've been riding the Blue Line for 20 years since it first opened. I have choices. I can drive every day. I have parking for the city. I can ride a bike to work, which I do one day a week. I can take bike in transit. I can take bus in transit, but I choose to use a mix of those throughout the system. I want to thank the Metro staff and the Metro Board for ongoing funding of our projects for bikes, as well as the increase to call for projects funding this year. And I also want to thank for upgrading to the system for bikes. When I started riding the bike on the train, we were required to get permits. This one expired in 1995, and I wanted to acknowledge the changes that Metro has made to a more progressive system for bikes. Bikes are a key part of integrating the transit system and bus system, and the short ride and the last mile challenge, if you will. I'm 2 miles away. It takes me 10 minutes to ride. It takes me half an hour to ride a bus 2 blocks from my house to my train station. So it saves me 40 minutes to put that bike on there. We strongly urge you to remove some seats so we can get some more stuff on there. It's not just bikes. It's luggage. It's shopping carts. I've seen a cat on the bus, on the train, and I've seen a lawnmower. So we all need to accommodate a whole lot of uses. It's not just bikes. We'd love you to get rid of the seats as well and give us something to hold on to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Allison, and then Alexis, followed by Hillary Norton.
Hi, Allison Manis, LA County Bicycle Coalition. I just wanted to thank the Metro staff for pushing these types of measures forward through the roundtables and other meetings they've held. We want to urge the board to approve lifting the peak hour ban as well as seat removal. I'm a daily rider on the Red Line to go to work, and it's been really helpful having the seats removed in the the cars where bikes can go in. And I just wanted to address the concern that was mentioned at last week's Operation Committee meeting, which was that, you know, I know some of the folks raised concerns that bike riders would displace people who are riding without bikes. But what I want to say is that the two are the same population. We transit riders are also bike riders, so it's not an issue of displacement.
Thank you. Alexis, and then Hillary, and followed by Sun Young Yang.
Thank you so much for your time. I do want to reiterate the comments before. I thank the Metro staff so much for working on this, and this has really come out of the Metro Bicycle Roundtables, which I think have been a really effective way of engaging with the community. Many of the people the Los Angeles County Bicycle represents do not own cars or choose not to drive cars and depend on both bicycles and transit for mobility. We believe strongly in removing the current restrictions and providing safe and clearly defined space for bicycles on train cars. These efforts will make Metro a leader and integrating bicycles with transit. Bicycles complement the transit and extend the viable reach of each station radius by 2 to 3 miles, as you heard Michelle say with her commute. By approving and removing the restrictions, you will remove the ambiguity that currently exists and improve the mobility of current transit users. We encourage Metro to take a progressive step forward toward better bicycle and transit integration and lift the restrictions and further create an integrated transportation system that provides greater mobility and more options and can encourage higher overall ridership. And most importantly, improve and provide better service for the people that are using the system now.
Thank you, Alexis. Mic back on, followed by Hillary, followed by Sun Young Yang, followed by Greg Whitman.
Hillary had to leave, but she left a letter that she provided to the board.
Thank you for sharing that. Sun Young Yang, are you still here? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I am. I was outside. Sun Young Yang with the Bus Riders Union, also here to support the Operations Committee recommendation on removing the bike restriction on the rail lines. As a bus rider, as a transit user, as well as a bike rider myself, I have to say, you know, allowing more bike access and making it safer for bikes to get bikes on the trains will actually help with both bike riders and non-bike riders who are accessing those services, because it delineates and keeps the egress and the ingress well. So I really encourage that this board also looks into also removing